Success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to happiness. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful. Albert Schweitzer. Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Podnuts Pro is your podcast for IT business support, and we provide you with product stories and tips to help you run your business better, smarter, and faster. And tonight is absolutely no exception. Tonight is the first in a series of No Marketing Marv Presents. And my first guest is somebody that if you have been in the channel over the last several years, you have seen her out and about. She has done great things. I am talking about Jennifer Fields from Aztec Marketing Group. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Let's get the weather check out of the way. How cold is it up where you are right now?
You know what? Actually, today was beautiful. I think it was about 48 degrees. So it was very nice. Barely needed a coat.
Yeah. Okay. So today, or at least right now, it is 76 degrees. And that was pretty good. We had a high of, I think it was 84.
Oh, nice.
And I used to say I never need a coat, but I actually have worn one down here in the past.
Oh, all right. Well, I wear one regularly, so.
Yep. For those that do not know, Jennifer is up in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And did I ask you before how far you were from Green Bay?
I'm a few hours from Green Bay, but I'm directly in between Chicago and Milwaukee.
Okay.
We're Kenosha. Everybody knows Kenosha now.
Yeah, Kenosha has been in the news.
Yes, we have. Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to say about that? You want to comment? Any?
Nope. I want to stay out of the news for now.
All right. Okay, so let's talk about, let me see. I don't really have too much in the way of announcements because I want to get to our topic here, but I do want to say to everybody, if you are watching live, you will be able to see Jennifer and I as we banter back and forth, and Jennifer will be staying through the podcast for the post show. So if you are joining us live and you want to stay and ask questions that we do not address during the show, feel free to do so. If you are listening by audio, you should tune in when you get a chance. We are here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And for all the information, just head over to podnutspro.com. And you may want to think about subscribing to us on either YouTube or the Facebook. I have pages on both, Podnuts Pro at YouTube and Podnuts Pro on the Facebook. Anytime I've got a show that goes live, we put out the announcements there. You just click on the reminder, and you'll be directed to the pages, or you can just tune into podnutspro.com/live, and you'll see what shows we have there. But you can also go to podnutspro.com to listen to any of the back episodes. I'm thinking of doing some blogging if I can find the time to do that. That way I can do some other announcements and put some downloads and giveaways and all that sort of stuff. But we'll see. I got to figure out how this marketing thing works. So that's what we'll figure out.
I'll help you.
All right. So let's go ahead and get started. Because one of the things that I think is always a topic in the MSP space or even the IT channel space is what really is marketing, because everybody has their own definition. And even though I say that I am no marketing Marv, I do market.
Right.
You know, I make sure that my brand is always out there, so much to the point where customers have asked me, do you have any shirts without your logo on them?
You shouldn't.
But let's talk about marketing in general, and then we can talk specifically what you can help bring to the table for us.
Okay. Specifically, marketing generates leads. So it brings prospects to you. It's the bridge between you and your prospect, basically. It's not the same as branding. Branding brings you top of mind. It tells your story. There's a lot of different things branding does. There's great value in branding, but the return on branding is not the same as the return on actual marketing. Any marketing strategy designed specifically to sell your service.
Okay. So all the stuff that I do, such as give my customers mugs at the end of the year, brand my shirts. I actually branded my COVID mask.
Nice. Yep.
So that's not really marketing.
It's branding, which is a branch of marketing, maybe. Okay. So it's there. I mean, you will see returns from that. Somebody will be looking at your coffee cup one day when they actually need what it is you provide.
Had that happen the other day where I was at an office and a lady was making a comment. She's like, I got to take my cup home. And I'm looking at it. And she was relatively new to the firm. And I said, that's my cup. Like, no, it's not. And I said, look at the side of the cup and look at my shirt. Oh. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
The biggest difference is it's not predictable or measurable. You can't predict when somebody's going to look at your cup and see it. Right. Whereas direct marketing, direct response, all of that things, you know, you can predict and measure exactly when your returns are going to come.
Okay. Now, the other side to that, I guess, is that sometimes I hear people say that, well, you may not need a marketing person, you need a salesperson.
Right.
And obviously, sales is different than marketing.
Completely.
A lot of people think that they can be one in the same. Your marketing person can sell and your salesperson can market.
Right. And your housekeeper can clean your house and cook you dinner, but a chef's going to do a better job cooking you dinner. It's very similar. Marketing feeds sales. So if you have a good closer on your team and you're paying dearly, because we all know closers are expensive, you don't want them out pounding the streets looking for their next person to talk to. You hire a marketing company to bring those people to him so he is in front of people who are ready to listen. So he can close more often instead of marketing. Very different. Marketing is bringing them in. Sales is closing them down. Bring them into the...
All right. So, of course, bringing them in, which comes to the concept of leads.
Yep.
And everybody talks about you got to have leads, you got to have a funnel, you got to have, all of this stuff. So let's talk about marketing from that standpoint. So if the goal is to get them in, what is basically, I guess, the strategy behind marketing and what types of things can you do?
Well, the strategy comes from where you're at. Where do you want to be? And setting goals to reach that thing. That's creating that strategy is exactly that. What are the different things you can do? I used to always say you had to have many funnels, but now ClickFunnels is the buzzword out there, and I'm never referring to ClickFunnels. They're fine. I don't disagree with them. I don't have anything negative. It's just not what I mean. So I'll just call them different oil wells or whatever. You have to have different avenues to generate these leads, because if you put all of your eggs in one basket, clearly you can, something can dry up, things can happen. So many different ways you can. I mean, of course, today the big buzzword other than ClickFunnels is SEO, AdWords, Google AdWords, SEO, organic and paid for. All of those things, and they all have value, and I use 90% of all of them. I use traditional marketing. I use the newer marketing. The traditional marketing that, you know, the tried and true, you pretty much know exactly what your return is. There is industry standards for, you know, direct mail, telemarketing, monthly newsletters. You know, you know who's seeing it and what the return, what the response rate is going to be. There's industry standards. There's data on that across the board. The newer stuff like this social media, there are things they, if any of you read your analytics, the impressions, how many impressions did you get? I know that's a key word for a lot of people. I don't even look at the impressions. To me, the impressions number frustrates me more than anything because it's always this big, huge, impressive number. So if somebody's doing your SEO and they said, oh, you had 42,000 people, 42,000 impressions, but you only had 427 calls. Well, where the hell is the other 41,000 people? You know what I mean? So I hate the impressions number. All that means is there are 43,000 people possibly looking for what you do, not necessarily exactly what you do, whatever. So I avoid that term at all costs. But I do SEO religiously. I mean, that's important. Combining each one of the options out there, I think, is important, including branding is one of the things, because that's, you know, your branding is when it, when their hair is on fire or the need does arise, it's typically something that you've branded that they find your website on or your phone number.
Okay. Now, is website, because we've done websites for so long, is that a part of traditional or is it all digital now? I mean, how does the overlap happen?
So your website, I come from the Robin School of Marketing. I was in her community for a very, very long time. Still part of the community. But your website is your master sales letter. That is almost everyone who you will interact with has gone to your website. You know, if they call you, they got your number typically from your website or whatever. So, I mean, in a sense, it's traditional because it's been around for a while, but all of the aspects of it are the newer SEO, you know, the organic, your content is all rated and packed full of buzzwords and AdWords and things of that nature. So, I mean, I guess it borders both, but it's definitely more of the modern.
Okay. All right. So how much of traditional is actually still happening outside of what we can see on a regular basis? I mean, commercials obviously are still both on TV and the radio.
Right.
There, believe it or not, there are still newspapers.
Yeah.
There are still paper magazines and companies are still advertising in those. So how much of advertising is traditional versus digital now?
For me, and in the strategies that I typically provide for my clients, it's a very large part. I would say it's 50-50. I use traditional and modern. You can't get away from the modern. You have to have your website. It has to be optimized. And you have to drive traffic there. So, you know, Google AdWords, all of that is a must. But there are other ways to do that with traditional marketing. Direct mail pieces are still great. You know, when you're marketing business to business and you have to be good to get through to the decision maker if you're going to send them a package or something. So you always make it lumpy or something to catch their eye. And then following that up with telemarketing boosts your appointment set rate by 75%. So that's severely traditional, you know, both direct mail and telemarketing, but they both still work. We see great responses with that every single day. Print, radio, you know, anything that's in print is also online. Your local paper is on, you can get the online subscription, you know. So even though print papers are fading away, if you pay for a banner or an advertisement in a paper, it's still on the online version as well. It's just on the side or in a different, it looks a little different. I don't do much of that just because there's little return there. You're not targeting anybody. You know, everybody sees that, not your targeted audience. But it's still viable. Trade shows, they're still they're still happening and viable too. You know, canvassing is very old school. We don't see a lot of that anymore, but it is very, when you have narrowed your niche and you know your audience and you canvass them specifically, it still shows great return. So.
All right. Now I want to go back. You mentioned a term that I think is kind of interesting. You said the word lumpy.
Oh, lumpy. that again, and I apologize. That's another Robin Robbins term.
Okay.
She creates mailers and such, but she puts things in it, like to catch their attention, whether it's aspirin, and you say, is your current IT guy causing you to need one of these? I have one right here because I just did this campaign the other day, and it's a Bayer aspirin. You know, things that are a letter, a traditional letter in a number 10 envelope is not going to get through. They're going to, you know, the gatekeeper's going to open it. They're going to see that it's a sales piece and they're going to put it wherever they put sales stuff.
So lumpy is something that it's not going to be flat like everything else. It's going to be just different enough that people have to say, what's in this?
Right. Yep. Okay.
All right.
Yep.
So let me do this. I'm going to go off tangent here real quick because I didn't do like the traditional rundown of, you know, all of your history and stats and all that stuff. So we are talking specifically the IT channel.
Yep.
But your company doesn't do just IT and you haven't always been in the channel as we know it. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So let's go back and just take a step back real quick. Even though you mentioned Robin Robbins, I want to get, you know, you before.
Okay.
Talk about Robin Robbins and how you got to where you are now. So,
okay. So, I mean, my history, I started out very young in finance and I worked at a local bank and worked my way up from actually teller to managing the home office in that bank. And that was my focus through my 20s. And in my 30s, I started in mortgages as growth from there. And I had mortgage brokerage companies that we worked directly with, bridging the lenders to the home buyers. And so right up until about 2000, well, the crash happened in 2007. I stayed in until about 2008, 2009, when it really got bumpy. Mm-hmm. At that time, focused on my family, was doing working with, at the time, my husband in his company. And then back in 2011, 12, I'm not sure the date, I got in with a local MSP here in Kenosha. And he happened to be a friend of mine. And I started working with him, was doing his marketing, and was brought into one of the Robin Robbins shows. And that's how that Pandora's box got opened. And that was it.
We got you. And so what happened, right?
Yep. Yep. And so I just started developing the strategies. And genuinely, initially, my primary focus was actually implementing, just getting it done. And we still do that now for our clients. We, you know, do it to the end. Within a lot of MSPs, with whether they have marketing people or not, getting it done is one of the most overwhelming tasks with marketing. Everybody has great ideas. There's tons of things out there you can do, both traditional and modern, but actually following through and getting it done. You know, if you're going to do traditional direct mail, somebody filling out the letters and sending them, or even if it's social media, actually somebody consistently making the post. And we all know with marketing, it comes down to the consistency. So we started offering actually getting it done, all, you know, the complete implementation of it all. And that's really that, and the strategy and consulting is really where we took off. And that's how I came out into the IT channel.
All right. So what percentage of your business do you think is IT versus some of the other industries?
It's primarily IT. In fact, up until 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, it was exclusively IT. There were still 85% IT only.
All right. Now you talked about getting it done, and we're talking about companies hiring Aztec Marketing Group. And when they hire you, what do they actually get?
So it really depends on where they're at. So, you know, are they a newer company? Are they more established? Is their marketing, you know, did they just lose their marketing person? Do they have marketing staff? We offer packages of varying levels. So if they have nothing and we come in, we provide complete strategy, you know, consulting on every angle, because really, if you're going to start marketing and you have a good marketing strategy, your sales processes have to be in line and have to be ready to take that influx of leads and conversions. And then so your operations department has to be prepared. So when they hire us, we do everything from consulting and strategy to implementation, content creation, follow-up calls. We have a call center, and so we do follow-up calls after we send out pieces, whether it's digital or physical mail. We follow up with a phone call, speaking directly to the decision makers. So they get all of that, and then final reporting at the end.
Okay, so I'm going to ask some weird questions only because now I've heard of Robin Robbins, never been to a conference, never watched a thing, and I know of others in the channel, some of which will be on the podcast at a later date, but I'm going to ask everybody the similar questions as to, you know, how sticky are the things that you guys do? Because I hear from time to time where everybody puts together a plan and then they all get left to do it themselves. And it sounds like you actually go a step further in making sure it happens, especially when it comes to follow-up phone calls, et cetera, right?
So how sticky is what we do, what like our services?
Yeah, I mean, if is are they going to call you? You'll put together a plan and then they don't hear from you in a month? Or is it something where you work together through all phases of the plan? And when you talk about reports, now, you know, are we talking where they can just see a spreadsheet of, well, here's the number of calls we did and blah, blah, blah.
So no, it with me specifically, with our clients, what we do is when you become a contract client. Now we do one-offs for clients. It's, you know, where they're like, you know what, we have this event coming up and I want you to do this piece of it. And then, you know, of course, for that, there's not continuous sticky things, aspects to it. Of course, my marketing comes behind it and tries to make it sticky, but for them specific, it's not. Contract clients, though, we immediately set up biweekly strategy calls. We have a standing biweekly call for the life of our relationship, whether we have a lot to talk about or not, you know, because once we get things rolling, they know what's happening as much as I do. I share an online file with them with their complete file so they see it. So say we do a bulky mailer or a lumpy mailer, something to that effect. Because we are remote and you know you're not working there, you've hired us to do a job, but you don't, you know, we're not in the next office next to you. You don't get to see it. So what we do in ours, we take pictures of everything we do, physical pictures, put them online. You actually see the letters, you see them stamped, you see exactly the collateral you've paid for. That is simply, there's no reason for that other than a comfort level, providing them knowing, okay, at least this is getting done.
Right. Okay.
So that they know when you work remote and they don't see you, that, you know, sometimes people start wondering, well, what's going on? What's happening? You know, I know full well the process, and you're not going to hear from me for, you know, you don't need to hear from me for another 3 weeks because there's nothing I need from you until then. But we have just set up these specifics so that there is interaction, whether there needs to be or not. You see the progress, you see the pictures. We create a calendar view on their file that shows every single day what tasks are being done on their file. So if your tech tips are going out, they're going out on every other Tuesday or however, whatever they're scheduled for, you see that you'll receive one and okay, they are doing what they're supposed to. We have several pieces like that that keeps them involved and knowing. We have a lot of what we do is automated and online. So unless you are looking, you don't know. So what we've done to create just a stronger comfort level for them, knowing that, okay, the work that they're paying for is getting done. And then, of course, once the results start coming in, they don't care what work is getting done. They just like the results,
right?
Which is a key thing to, I don't know that we mentioned this yet or not, but setting expectations for your marketing and realistic expectations. Everybody wants returns and they want them right now. And honestly, with marketing, if you're starting from scratch, you're, 4 to 6 months is when you start seeing results. 6 to 12 months is when you can start measuring what these results are and what they're going to be. And then right at 1 year for the next year is when you can predict and determine exactly how, what you're going to see. And you can either up your limits, so you can double that but at that point, all of the data is collected. You know what each lead is costing you. You know what's working. But setting expectations is super key. It does take those initial, you're always going to have some responses and hopefully new conversions in the first month, but you might not. You know what I mean? Like, it might take 3 months for you to get that first conversion. But once you do, and your cycle is going and you're now retouching the same people you touched at the beginning, then you start seeing the results.
All right. Like I said, I just wanted to ask that because I hear the stories out there in the industry and I hear people talking about, every time I tried to check in, I got nothing or yeah, I couldn't see what was going on. And the fact that you mentioned that, you actually take pictures of the letters and the things being stamped and stuff like that, I think that at least shows that there's effort being made.
Right.
Nothing may come of it, but that's, I don't want to say that's the risk you take. That's just the nature of life, right? Yes, right?
Yep. Okay. And that's why you have several aspects going. That's why you have your direct mail and you have your trade show or your press releases and your website and your ads on Google. You have many different things that you see. And typically those things you see receipts for, or you see the analytics for. So the pictures and stuff is just so you see what's going on in that arena as well.
Okay. All right. So folks, if you are just joining us, we are talking with Jennifer Fields from Aztec Marketing Group. And we are talking about all things marketing, helping me, No Marketing Marv, understand, and hopefully you out there as well. So we talked a little bit earlier about the different types, of marketing things, traditional, digital, you mentioned SEO. Mm-hmm. Content marketing seems to be a big thing right now, outside of ClickFunnels. But, right, sometimes it almost seems as though it's just simply making a post on Facebook, no matter what it is, or doing something on the gram or on Twitter. But do those things, I don't want to ask if they work, because obviously somebody's doing them right so that they are, but how should we be using something like content marketing?
So really on your website specifically, as far as SEO and that goes, as far as ads, like you're talking about on Facebook, depending on how well you're planning those ads, the back end, you're choosing your audience and the content and what you're doing it, your hook or your title, the primary content of your ad, all of those factors matter as to whether they work. To say Facebook ads don't work is silly, because clearly they work. to say all of them work is a lie, because they don't all work. I mean, I've done ones that don't work, and I've done ones that have been hugely successful. So, I mean, it's really tweaking it. The beauty of it, and if you are interested in doing it, you can start small and gauge on a smaller level what your return can be. One thing is really hitting that sweet spot as far as your hook, whether it's your offer or your headline, getting that right. And so the dollar amount that you can start with is so nominal. You can do $20 ads. You know what I mean? That if they flop, who cares? And, you know, versus, you know, going right in at 2,000, 3,000, you don't need to do that. Start low, figure it out if you're doing it yourself. There are clearly tried and true ones that people use that you can, you know, mimic to a degree. So, I mean, are they worth doing? That was the question. Yeah, they're worth doing. What should you be doing with them? You should be trying them. You can do posts for free and then boost them if you want, if you get a good response. Depending on your organic Facebook audience, you know, who you friended and, you know, who has liked or whatever your page, that's who your audience is when you do it that way. And, you know, with that, you know, for the freeway. Doing it as a paid or a boost, I mean, it's definitely worth trying. You should be spending time and effort and money on your own content and SEO on your website. The Google algorithms and things of that nature, there's so much that goes into that algorithm, that so many things that you can personally do as far as your content, hitting your words, the back end of your website, you're all IT and technical and all that. So you know how to get into and work on the back end of your site as far as metadata. And
oh, no, I don't. I have a web girl for that.
Oh, there you go. So, but a lot of them do. So if you want, you know, things that you can do on your own, that's it. Otherwise, hire me or someone like me that can do it for you. And you do see results there. I mean, as long as you are working to drive traffic to your website, it's worth it to have your website up and killer.
Okay. Now, one thing you probably aren't prepared for this either. So,
great.
So one of the things I see is people complaining a lot of times that they're doing these ads and they're not getting engagement, but other people call them out and say, well, you're doing ads to all your friends and to other IT people. So, you know, we're not going to click on your stuff. So how do you help people get out of that tunnel vision and realize that they've got to find a way to reach other people, not just their friends on Facebook or something like that?
Okay, so that's the difference, if I'm hearing you right. So if you post something on your page, so your post, the people who see your post are the people who have liked your page, or they're your friends or other IT guys. Like mine is stacked full with all IT people. Mm-hmm. So I post on mine, and that's my target audience. But if you're doing that, that's not your target audience. But if you do a Facebook ad, which is completely different than a post. So a Facebook ad, you have the opportunity to choose your audience.
Okay.
And so, I mean, every demographic, I mean, you can get as granular as male, female, age, all of that. Or you can go more broad as to industry level, you know, like CEOs and higher, that type of thing. All of that data is in Facebook. And they do allow you to, you know, in that. That's a paid service, though. That's a paid ad. It's okay. Not a post. So if they're posting to their friends, I mean, if they're saying it's going to their friends and stuff, that's because they're doing a free post. When you start in the paid ads, which you can start as low as $20, in the paid ads, you choose your audience and where you want them to go.
All right. So that makes more sense, because I do know, you know, people that they want to do the freeway. And, you know, which is why I would never look to that, because I don't want to post to other IT people. I don't want to post to my friends. I don't want friends and family calling me for business because I don't do residential.
Right.
So, all right. So let's shift a little bit, because I want to make sure we try to get everything in that we have bullet pointed at least. So we talked about budget. We talked about there are things you can do very minimal when it comes to the content marketing. But in terms of helping somebody decide, you know, somebody, say an MSP that's, you know, say they're somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000 now, they're just growing, and they say, I want to get to $1 million by, you know, 2022 or whatever. How do you sit with somebody like that and help them decide what their marketing budget should be and how they should utilize that?
It's very touchy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can give you industry standard specifics, you know, for a new company or a newer company, a less mature company, say someone down in the 200,000 level or brand new, you're looking at literally 12 to 20% is what your marketing budget should be. And
is that of your sales or expenses or what's
your gross revenue?
Okay.
So, which is, it's very overwhelming at first, but that is what you're trying to double. If you're at 200,000 and you want to get to 1 million, you're trying to quadruple your business. So, you know, it's not going to happen for free. It's not going to, I mean, it has to be strategically planned and executed. And, you know, there are hard costs along with it outside of intellectual property and, you know, da, 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 da. It's a hard pill to swallow, but you gotta dig deep when you want to build your company.
Holy crap.
I know.
That would be 90 grand for me.
Right. Right. Oh, I'm working with a client right now who they're at the 5 million. They want to get up to 10, 11 million. So that's a big hefty budget we're looking at. But we're struggling to do what we want to do on that budget.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because
I'm looking at $1 million. I can do a lot with.
Right. Well, we're not at a million. Our budget's not 5 million. They're at 5 million.
No, I understand. Sure. I'm saying with $1 million to spend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not chump change.
No, I know. Our budget there is, we've used it up and it's February. We've planned for the whole year. Don't get me wrong, but we don't have a lot of wiggle room.
You spend $1 million in the first 3 months, something's wrong.
And it's not $1 million. It's because once you're more established companies, you're looking at, you know, between 6 and 12%.
Okay.
The smaller companies is 12 to 20. The more established is 6 to 12. Our budget is right around 300,000. Which is a huge budget. It's a lot.
Okay.
But when you start in advertising and, you know, certain things, this is 30,000. This is, you know what I mean? Then you're spending a lot. But that's traditional or statistically 6 to 12% for an established company and 12 to 20% for a new or startup or lower end. Not lower end, that sounds terrible. You know what I mean? Someone at the that hasn't quite broached the $1 million mark.
Hmm. All right. Now, how do you measure return against something like that?
So every aspect. So like we broke down traditional and modern. We broke down branding versus marketing. Each piece has there's a statistical return, an anticipated return for them. Or with certain things like branding, we don't even put any return on. We don't anticipate any return. There is return.
You're just killing me here.
I'm sorry. It's just not measurable. So I can't measure to tell my client how much they're going to get. I always teach them the value of it. There's great value. And some of your largest returns will come from branding. which, because that's someone who sees it and knows what they want, and they're a larger client. And anyways, so that can happen. But each piece has its own return, and there are certain pieces that have a higher return. But if that's true, if what I'm telling you is true, then you think, why don't everybody just do the one thing that does the most return? Because there is consistency involved. And the reason those things have a higher return is because the things in the background that are consistent. And
well, it's a matter of diversity. I mean, that's right. My first thought, and support. I mean, not just, you know, the one thing isn't always the one thing. There's got to be some background noise that is a reminder.
Right.
At least the marketing research that I've done.
Which is extensive. but yeah, and I would say the biggest thing out of all of them for return is consistency. Being consistent. People, one of the most common questions I'm ever asked is, what's the best campaign to do? Where should I start? What's the best one? And my answer across the board is the same to every human that asked me that question. And it's whichever flipping one you will actually do. Not talk about, not strategize on, but actually do. There is typically a return for most things that are out there.
Okay.
So, gauging that. Another thing that is very common and very hot right now is this huge over promise, under deliver theory out there. You know, like, come with me, I'm going to up your sales by $258,000 a month. My clients aren't even making $258,000, and you're going to up them $258,000 a month.
Right.
It's bogus. It's not real. 99.999% of the time, if it sounds too good to be true, it's not. So it's not true.
It's probably going to be a sensitive subject and somebody will say something, but is that why ClickFunnels gets the negative connotations that it gets? Because, you know, everything 5 times or 10 times, and I don't even know what that means. So forgive people for saying that, but I mean, it's got to work to some degree, but at the same time, it's like,
it works. The biggest thing I have found with the ClickFunnels, and I'm probably going to be stabbed for this one. I don't know. But most of the things that sell really, really, really well in ClickFunnels are fluff in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you're not selling services through there. You're giving something away. So, I mean, I say this to all of my clients all the time, add value. You know, you add value to sweeten the deal. You know, don't always give discounts, add value. And so the premise of ClickFunnels is added value. You're going to get this for free. You know, here's my free book. Here's my free 10 steps to the perfect waistline or whatever ClickFunnel you're clicking on. And then it's not until you're in that rabbit hole of all these clicks before you get to really what they're trying to get you to buy, which is $9,992,000 for it. But I don't know. I've never used ClickFunnels personally. I don't. I think specifically managed services. There are some that have been successful with it. I know a few right off the top of my head that did it, were successful. None of them are currently doing them anymore. So I don't know.
Is IT one of those areas that doesn't quite translate well? I mean, part of me thinks of, we are selling service. And now some of us do sell hardware.
Right.
But for the most part, we're selling, you know, preventive maintenance, remote support, or whatever package we do. And so, in a sense, it's almost like the auto mechanic or, you know, some sort of service where it's not always translatable in marketing as much, or at least that's my feeling.
I agree. It's definitely difficult to translate into ClickFunnels or to certain ads of that nature for a couple reasons. One, it's your prospects are all CEO and above level positions.
Right.
And so there is not an elitist, but there's a certain standard that you want your IT people to be at. You know, not one of the biggest things you guys do is cybersecurity. Don't click here. Don't click there. If you don't know it, don't click it. Right. That type of thing. So you don't want to be putting stuff out there for your prospects to be clicking.
Right.
You know what I mean? So translating into marketing, I disagree. I have access to hundreds of campaigns that are killer and pertinent and to the point, and they add value. They deliver value upon receipt. Just by reading them, your prospects learn something. And so it translates well that way. It's just not, it's not the same marketing as Coca-Cola or, you know, a restaurant or anything like that. It's just different, geared specifically to, you know, owners of companies.
All right. So something that has been promoted highly in our industry, and I've gotten a few of these offers. I shouldn't say I've gotten them as offers. There's always a level that you can get to where you can get MDF money.
Oh, yeah.
Or marketing development funds or whatever, where they will help.
Yep.
You get noticed or however they term it. So do you ever assist companies with that?
I do. And in fact, that's one of, it's a tough go. It's not easy. So just to be clear, for people who don't know, vendors offer MDF funds. Most vendors offer MDF. So marketing development funds. It's free money they give you to do marketing. Some of them require you to market specifically their piece, and some do not. There are some vendors who are severely severely generous with their money, with their MDF. And, you know, it's basically partner with them and they help you, you know, and that's, they want you to succeed. The more you succeed, the more their product you're going to buy. Knowing those, who's one of the highest, I can tell you, Microsoft is, they're very generous. But their hoops are great and many and sometimes difficult, and you have to be a certain level with them.
Right.
Datto is one of the most generous vendors who are out there to help you. They won't only give you money. They send their people to, you know, say you want to do a lunch and learn, they'll send somebody there to do the speaking for you. They're one of the best ones to work with MDF. Most all the vendors have it. And some require levels. You have to be a certain level before they even consider you for it. Mm-hmm. But a lot don't. A lot of them are, okay, run a campaign that specifically highlights one of our products, and, you know, we'll pay 50% or we'll pay $3,000 towards it. Jumping the hoops for those or whatever the saying is typically worth it. A lot of the phone vendors and the, you know, those types of things, they're there, they'll give them to you. We work with them all the time. And, you know, we know the ones that are the easiest to get and the ones that are tough, but maybe the most valuable. So.
All right. Now, do you sometimes try to incorporate that into the strategy, or is, because I have to imagine that a lot of time that either just, you know, falls into people's laps, they hit a certain level, and then the vendor's like, hey, there's money for you to do this. So do you stop doing other stuff when that comes along, or is that just added to the stack?
Added to the stack. And what that does is, a lot of times I've had clients who they want to meet that, you know, 6 to 12% of their, you know, they want to spend that much money, but they're spread thin and blah, blah, blah. And this is one of the ways they are able to still stay on track with their marketing, is spending that time get, you know, jumping through those hoops to get that, those MDF funds. So, I mean, it's worth it, you know, especially if you have an admin in the office that will take the time to fill out the paperwork and to, you know, send in all the requirements and those types of things. We have specific campaigns for specific vendors that, you know, you automatically get the MDF from. So we do work that into the strategy from the start.
All right. I want to get one last question in here before we start to end the show. We're getting close to the hour here. The idea of having somebody in-house versus an outside contractor. Now, obviously, you guys partner with companies, so you're not in-house.
Right.
Do you work with people that have an in-house marketing department, and what types of things do you do with them?
Okay, so primarily with us, and right off the top, the difference, cost. The you can pay me and my team a certain price to get something done that having one person in house, they might not even be able to do it just because it takes more, you know, different skill sets, different, you know, a lot more time and the consistency, you know, between sick days and all this. And then of course the 20% additional on average that it costs you to have an actual employee with benefits and holidays and the whole nine. But do we work with them? Absolutely. We work with them regularly. Again, like I said, with a good marketing strategy, it requires so many different skill sets, everything from having people to implement lick stamps and stuff envelopes to calling CEOs and setting up appointments. Oftentimes, it's not the same person that does both. You know what I mean? So we come in and supplement with them on that. We work directly with sales teams, and, you know, in filling their pipelines. I don't know if I answered that fully to what you were expecting, but.
No, it was good enough. We can talk about it more in the post show, but okay. I wanted to get that question answered on the full podcast. And folks, if you are watching, we will be ending the show here for the podcast, but we will stay after in the post show so we can have more conversation and answer any questions. I see we've got several people hanging out and watching. Folks, you can always add to the chat if you are either in YouTube or on the Facebook. So, all right, Jennifer, so I'm going to have links to your website, your Facebook page, and I probably should have done this at the beginning, but Aztec is not spelled the way most people think Aztec is spelled.
Right.
It's actually spelled Aztek, Aztec Marketing Group.
Do you know why?
I know why.
Okay.
I just don't remember all their names.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Right.
There's like, let's see, some, I forget who the A is, Shannon.
Anthony. Kevin. Yep. Kevin's the last one. Anthony, Sarah, Thomas, Ellie, Kevin.
Sarah. That's okay.
Yeah, that's it. Close enough. Right. Sorry. Yes, you're right. Aztec is with an S.
All right. Named for your five children.
That's it.
So do they try to, you know, play on the name? And Mom, you named the company after us. We should be able to blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'll tell you, the A is Anthony, and he is, this is actually Anthony here.
Oh, is it?
It is. It is. He is a full partner. He runs the operations and staff management, and he's typically out on the road with me as well.
All right. Now, it's a little tricky there. Different last name.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so should I even ask about Angela?
Angela?
Yeah, the other the Angela on your website.
Oh, Angela Aurora? No, yeah. She's not related. She's not related, but she is amazing.
Okay. All right. There we go. Aztec Marketing Group. And looks like it will be a family business.
It will. Yeah.
All right. So, Jennifer, we've come to the show part that people love where I used to do just Florida Man stories, but I've now expanded it to where last year I did Florida Man versus the World, and I would ask people to give me a story that will compete with Florida Man, but I've decided to give people the option. And I kind of explained a little bit to you before the show. You can choose whether you want to play Florida Man versus the World, or if you would like to get a random question. Go to the internet. I pick one of the random question generators and I ask you whatever question pops up, and I don't know what it is.
Well, because I did not prepare in advance for Florida Man versus the World, which I wish I had, I will go with the random question generator.
Okay. So I don't have music, but I'm working on that. We'll have music for it. So let me go to my random generator website and let's generate the random question. And it is, this is not a good one.
Oh, no.
So the question is, just to prove to everybody, have you ever spoken in front of a large group of people and how did it go?
Yes, and it went fine. See, that was painless. You can do another if you like. I'm not scared.
Okay, let's do another. Here we go. All right. Second random question. Oh, now this one should be interesting.
Great.
What's the most immature thing that you do?
Oh. Jeez, that I still do. Oh God, I can't tell on myself for that. what's the most immature thing I still do? I still call my dad. When I have, you know, I still call my dad constantly when I need something. Is that necessarily immature or I don't know.
So you play the daddy's girl.
I do
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. God, that was tougher than I thought.
See?
Random questions.
Yeah. Random question.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Jennifer, thank you very much for.
Thank you.
The first in the No Marketing Mars Presents. And I will be announcing who the next person is shortly, folks. I don't want to get too far ahead here. I want to have a little bit of anticipation as we go forward. But yes, 4 months in this month of March, I will have marketing people on to help explain to me how to do marketing in the MSP world. All right.
Nice.
So that is going to do it for our show tonight. If you are watching, like I said, stay with us through the break and come back. And Jennifer and I will continue talking. And if you're still in the chat, you can send us a question. Those of you that are listening by audio, I want to thank you for staying this long, downloading and subscribing to the show. Please be sure to talk about this to all your friends and all your IT buddies and gals to come and get tips and strategies to help you grow your business. That's what we do. Help make it better, stronger, and faster. That is going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. On behalf of Jennifer Fields, I want to say thank you and good night. And until next time, holla.